Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In 1997, Kathy and I became the pastors of Kenoy Brethren in Christ Church. It's the church that we came from before we came to Ashland. When we made that move, we moved from our little tenant farmer's house that was sectioned off. It was a house that we owned. It was sitting on 3/4 acre, and we moved to a new home that we had built about 16 miles away. The new house sat on a little over 4 acres, and we proceeded to put in a large garden and a fairly sizable orchard. And about a year later, Sheila bought a beautiful paint colt. His registered name was Tommy's Little Secret, but he had always gone by a much better name, Bucky. This picture is here. He's probably about 6 years old in that picture, and that's Emily when she was about 10, I would say, riding Bucky there. At the time, when Sheila made the purchase, we had no barn, but we had very gracious neighbors who were and continue to be really good friends. And we boarded Bucky in their barn for free. However, after about a year, it was really past time to build our own barn, and we set apart to do just that. Our barn would be a pole barn. Our pavilion out back there is a pole barn, okay? It's a similar kind of construction, okay? The dimensions for it were 30 feet by 31 feet. So it wasn't that, when you picture a barn, it wasn't one of those kind of barns. It was 30 by 31. I paid the money, and then on a beautiful morning, probably about 8 a.m., three men, probably Amish or former Amish, showed up, and they began the construction process. Now, I thought a barn of that size would take days to build, because if it was me, it would have taken months to build. Instead, about 8 hours later, those three young men left, and the barn was complete, and it was beautiful. What made the construction of our barn so wonderful was how each of the men knew their part in the process and then executed that job that they had perfectly. It was a beautiful process to behold. I still marvel at it, you know, almost 30 years later. Each one utilized his skills, and they hardly even talked to each other. Okay, it's not that they weren't into communication, and I'm not saying that communication isn't a good thing. Instead, what I'm saying is they didn't have to tell each other what to do. Each knew exactly what to do and when to do it. In the end, after just a few short hours, we had a beautiful new barn. Bucky had a new place to stay. And that process of these three young barn builders, that process that they employed is what the church is like. At least it's supposed to be like that. Bill Hybels, who disappointed me greatly in a scandal that's for him still not resolved, but he said some great things, and I was a follower. One great thing that he said is that there's nothing like the local church when the local church is working right. Something else he would often say is that the local church is the hope of the world, and it is. I would add that the local church is the hope of the world when the people who make up the local church know what their spiritual gifts are, and then they utilize them to the full extent of the Holy Spirit's gifting in their lives. Knowing what your spiritual gifting is a gift to the church, and it's a gift to the kingdom, and it's a gift to the world. And to that end, let's look again at the scripture before I get into the rest of the message. And this time, I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, which will bring some clarity to the text as we proceed. I thought about making references to it in the message. Instead, I'm going to just read it to you as he paraphrased it. And Paul is talking. This is the Saint Paul. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into your lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God and led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you're doing, just doing it because everybody else did it? It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, "Jesus be damned." Nor would anyone be inclined to say, "Jesus is Master," without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. So the first thing we need to see is that it's good to be informed. Apparently, the Corinthians had sent Paul some questions, and one of the things they had asked about was spiritual gifting, the gifts of the Spirit. It seems that the actual word gift is not used in the original language, but the implication is unmistakable. What the apostle says literally is, now concerning spirituals, and here is a place where Peterson assists us, and he says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. He gifts us with these things. Our spiritual gifts and God working through us. In this, Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed. He said, I want you to know about this. We need to know what all this is about. Being a part of the family God, the family of God in Jesus Christ, will never be complete unless you know your gifts and are utilize them. So Paul answers the question, what are gifts? And the answer is lots of things. In this passage here, there are 9 gifts listed. There are other passages throughout Paul's writing and Peter's writings that list other spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts inventory that Karen is going to be talking about at the end of this message, she's going to be describing this to us and introducing it to us. That survey lists 19, right? 19 gifts. The interesting thing about it is that gift list of 19 isn't even exhaustive, okay? There are actually more than 19 spiritual gifts because God's gifting isn't limited. Here's what you need to know. You, every one of you, have at least one of those gifts. Every single one of you. If you are a Christ follower, you have a spiritual gift, or two, or three, or four. Here's one thing that's true about spiritual gifts. If you are a Christ follower, there's not a single one of you who does not have a spiritual gift. You get my point? In fact, the Holy Spirit in you shows your allegiance. You don't think you have a spiritual gift, and yet you're calling Jesus Christ Lord. Right there, the Holy Spirit in you is showing your allegiance. And if you call Jesus Lord, you have a gift. You have a spiritual gift. Paul points out that the Corinthians were once pagans who were easily led astray by empty and lifeless idols, okay? Somebody made that idol, and then you start worshiping it. The Old Testament prophets humorously described how people would make a god and carve it out of wood and cover it with silver and then bow down to it. So you're the creator, but you're bowing to that. And he's saying, it was ridiculous, yes, okay? And now these former pagans, they're Christ followers, now they have life in the Holy Spirit. And Paul points something else out, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Your allegiance shows up in who you proclaim. When people see Jesus in you, they know with whom your allegiance lies. It's nothing other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay? You can't get it mixed up with earthly stuff. When people see Jesus in you, they know that you're a Christ follower. And here's something really awesome then, and Peterson kind of made this point. Variety is beautiful. Last week, Karen gave us a little children's story that was aimed in both. It was kind of the introduction to our spiritual gifts emphasis. She looked at the children as she taught them, but she was really hoping that we were listening in too. And she took Mr. Potato Head and she tried to imagine what it was like if everybody was just a potato. And then she added ears and face and feet. Actually, the kids helped her with this. And they showed how a potato became Mr. Potato Head by the addition of necessary items. You might remember that William had Mr. Potato Head's hair. And Karen rightly wondered what purpose hair actually serves. And I agree, who needs hair anyway? But I digress. Variety is the spice of life. Variety is the spice of life. I love variety in what I have for breakfast. Okay, baked oatmeal today, an omelet tomorrow, mush on Tuesday with Toby. I love variety. I love a ready mix of fiction, nonfiction, biographies, and inspiration in the books I read. Different things make life very interesting. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week as we continue this study, but Paul points out the different giftings in the church. There are different gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. It's all the same service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of activities, but the same God empowers us by the Holy Spirit. Each person, let me say this again, has a gift. There's no one who does not have a gift. I simply can't say it enough. Each person is given a gift for the common good of the kingdom of God. Paul then proceeds to give examples there in the latter part of our text. He gives the example of the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith for healing and miracles and prophecy, the gift of discernment or tongues or the interpretation of tongues. And as I said, this is just a few of the important gifts that are given to the people of God for the carrying out of ministry. All of these gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Like those young men that built my barn, everybody knows their place and their purpose and their job, and they do it with enthusiasm and skill as the gifts of the Spirit are utilized in the church. Here's the important thing. God has determined what your gift is, and it's all good. In fact, it's real good. Your gifting might not be as upfront or glamorous as another one, but it's still good. It's still crucial. Your gift, the kingdom can't function the way God would like it to. I mean, God doesn't need us, but he needs us. And if you're not doing your gift, there's an important thing missing. It's crucial. Spiritual gifts aren't about miraculous signs. Sometimes they are, okay? The main thing spiritual gifts are about is that they are about the body of Christ functioning the way God created the body of Christ to work. Concerning spiritual gifts, you have one. Probably more. Some of you already know what your spiritual gifts are. Some of you need to find out what they are. Some of us already took spiritual gifts profiles multiple times over our time as Jesus followers of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing is, the first time I remember taking a spiritual gifts test was back in my first pastorate, okay? And I thought I was God's gift to preaching, and it didn't even show up. And I'm the leader of a church, okay? And leadership didn't even show up, okay? And I like, what? What's going on? But I had that I was strong in shepherding and other things. But then I love taking profiles, okay? I love personality things. I like ones like, ha ha, I knew that. You know, it's, I just love doing these things. I know you think I'm a psycho, they're always helpful. I took it again. Karen sent me a profile that I did online, and it's one that you can do too, okay? Or you can take a paper one, which is she's going to talk about. I see the whole sheaf of papers down here. I took another one, and it was different because the Lord has adapted me for the ministry that I'm in, and my gifting is different. And it's fun. And then Karen sent me another one that she was thinking about for the kids. And I did that one too. Our gifting adjusts. The Lord just does this stuff. It's his creativity. In my opinion, this stuff of spiritual gifts brings new excitement to the Christian walk, okay? If you find out that you have the gift of proclamation, I don't want you to be frightened and run away, okay? Because some people, the proclamation is preaching, okay? The Lord has great plans for you through this. Now, that's enough for me for this morning. Karen's going to come, and she's going to describe what our emphasis is going to be over the next couple of weeks as we look further into this subject of the gifts of the Spirit and what makes us into a well-oiled and holy machine for the kingdom of God so that we can be the local church that's working right. Next week, I'll finish this passage from 1 Corinthians 12, okay? And then 2 weeks from now, Pam is going to bring it all together, and it's going to be a good time. And you might think that we have an ulterior motive because nomination time is coming, you know? And we're not that sneaky. We would like you to know what you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom. And then we get to be in on that fun too as we do that. So Karen, would you come and share with us?
Excited about this, y'all. I'm in the geek camp with Pastor Keith. I love these surveys. One of the things that I love about it is that I learn about myself, but I get to learn about all of you too. And we get to know each other better. I found out this morning accidentally on Facebook that Michael was in the marching band. Cool, now I have to talk to him more about that. But so I'm introducing this morning spiritual gifts. However, this is part of a bigger survey. We're using something called the SHAPE survey. It was put out by a church in California. It's called the SHAPE survey. So we are focusing this week on spiritual gifts. We're going to move on to hearts. What's your passion? What passion has God given you? What are your abilities? Your abilities and your gifts are not the same thing. I can cook, but that is not my gift. I can cook for you, but it's... personalities. Our personalities blend with our gifts and enrich them, but they're not the same thing. And our experiences also influence, or our gifts influence our experiences. And part of the blessing of doing this together is that we can call out in one another the gifts that we see. I was able last week when I was working with the kids to start to see in a couple of them, I think I know where God's heading in you, but we'll see. But we can also, you know, we know that one of Bonnie's gifts is teaching. I kind of disagree with your survey that says you're not a shepherd, but we'll get into that later. So here are your options. When you pick up your bulletin, you will see the announcement, and it has two options for you to do the spiritual gifts, actually the whole SHAPE inventory all at once if you want to, online. You can do it using the QR code or on your phone, or you can type in, it's freeshapetest.com, and you can do it all at once, the whole shebang, and be done with it. It takes about an hour. There is a lot of questions. Here's the downside to do it. The upside is it will print you out a summary when you're done and send it to me, and I will get it to you. The downside is if your computer glitches, you're out of luck. So that happened to Sharon this week. It happened to somebody else was telling me, helping to Nicole this week. They tried to do the whole thing and it glitched and they're going paper. But if you're a patient soul, I encourage you to do it that way if you don't mind to do it. If you would rather do paper, I have for you with instructions the paper version. Now, Andrew told me, be honest, so I'm going to be honest. There are 133 questions just for the spiritual gifts. Don't think too hard, okay? Go with your gut. The choices are never, always, sometimes, most of the time. There are enough questions, that's why there are so many, that it narrows it down for you. You don't have to think that hard. If you want to, you put your name on it and you bring me your survey next week, I will score it for you and get you back the results. Or you can do it yourself. That's up to you. So this week I'm giving you the S part, the spiritual gifts part. The other parts are all short. I'll probably staple those all together and you can just finish those up. Here's the fun part. When we get the results back, or when you get your results back, we're going to have an evening of dessert and learn about each other in some fun ways to find out what each other's gifts are, what our personalities are like. The personality thing sorts you into an animal. You're either a lion, a beaver, a golden retriever, or an otter. So it's fun, you guys. Just put on your little kid hat and have fun with it. What am I not explaining well, or what questions do you have?
Let me just, Justin, if you could turn
this on. The computer one's much easier than if you try it on a little phone. Okay.
Because you have to.
If you love using QR codes, that's fine. But doing it on a laptop or a PC will be easier. Also, the whole idea of celebrating it together. Somebody told me the other day, what you celebrate, you replicate. We grow from celebrating it and celebrating one another.
I would like to have at some point, at least, the spiritual gifts. I want to know what those are, partly because I just like to do it. And if you're worried about me knowing this about you, it's fairly safe to say that 5 minutes after I score the test, I'm not going to remember what you wrote down. So never ye mind. No, don't worry about it. Yeah. It's not a problem. Andrew.
Can you explain the limitations of the online version of the survey?
The limitations of the online survey are that if it glitches, you're doomed. Oh, yes. You have to do it all at once.
If you go online to do it, you're committed. You're doing it all at once and submitting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll lose it all and have to start over. So it's nice to have the paper one because you can't lose the paper unless you physically lose the paper.
And one of the dear people that we know and love is doing the paper one first and then putting it on the computer, which that's going above and beyond. But any other questions? Okay, I have an adult version. And let's see. Oh, the kids aren't in here. William, would you do me a favor and take the stack of papers back and give them to people on the way out the door? Come up to the front. Jeffrey, thank you. And I have a kid version for children 8 and above. I wouldn't do it for younger. I'm not sure it would be real accurate. You might have to explain some of the questions. All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.